A new strategy for getting 5G infrastructure built without Huawei. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. Okay, so we all know that 5G is taking a long time to get here, and that it's a big infrastructure challenge that is complicated by some geopolitics, namely suspicion about Huawei, the Chinese telecom provider that sells the most 5G networking equipment globally. Now, 31 mostly US-based companies have created a coalition to push for a new kind of 5G infrastructure that involves less complicated hardware and more complicated software. The coalition says this approach will foster innovation and competition. Doug Brake is director of broadband and spectrum policy at the Information Technology and Innovation Foundation. It's a think tank that works on this kind of thing. And he says a more virtualized approach offers a lot of benefits.
You can do more in software and iterate more quickly than you can, you know, having to individually configure all of these pieces of equipment throughout the network. Mm-hmm. But another sort of policy imperative that we're seeing is trying to make a change to the market that is not so easily cornered by the Chinese company Huawei. Mm-hmm. When you have these sort of high margin, expensive, single integrated pieces of equipment, it's relatively easy for a single company to come to grow more and more market share, especially when it's backed by some of the unfair trade policies, other policies that China has used to push Huawei to where it is today.
Will it require less hardware or less infrastructure installation overall?
When people hear the term virtualization, right, it makes it sound like the network itself is completely ephemeral or like up in the cloud, right? Mm-hmm. It's only the functionalities of the network that is virtualized and run in software. So it still requires pieces of equipment out in the field, mm-hmm. one that is hopefully cheaper, more innovative, and leads to a market dynamic that sees a flourishing of smaller US-led startups that are interested in providing this type of equipment.
But it sounds like we would have to replicate a fair bit of infrastructure, right? I mean, it's still an expensive 5G proposition. Like, does this slow down rollout?
I don't think it slows down rollout. I think that this is, you know, part of the ongoing transition to 5G, right? We're seeing ongoing deployment and also a sort of evolution as it makes sense to replace the existing 4G network. More and more 5G equipment will be built out. And so it's not a question of, you know, starting over, but this is just sort of part of the continual evolution as we make the shift to 5G.
I mean, it's so interesting because on the one hand, like the way you're describing the technology makes sense. On the other hand, it feels like, okay, we're changing the direction of this potentially globally economically crucial technology to benefit US companies. Is like the rest of the world going to agree that this is the way forward and this is how we should do it?
It is already ongoing, right? This is an area of transition that wireless operators around the world have been interested in for some time. Mm-hmm. There are a number of coalitions that have been focused on the sort of technical aspects of trying to define standardized interfaces between the components of this equipment. Mm-hmm. It's just now that sort of recently the administration has found this as a real opportunity in their sort of ongoing battle with Huawei.
Got it. So I guess fundamentally, is it a technical issue or a trade issue?
In one level, right, it's about getting over these sort of technical hurdles. But more broadly speaking, right, a lot of 5G, especially the geopolitical dynamics around 5G in China, come down to trade issues. And part of that is, you know, convincing like-minded allies that this is a real challenge going forward, and how we can be sort of setting ourselves up for a healthier market for wireless telecommunications equipment in the future.
What are the security implications here? You know, the system that you're describing, the virtualized 5G, is it more secure, less secure? Is that part of a huge part of the calculation or not?
There is this sort of long-term concern if China and really Huawei continues to gain more and more control over the sort of critical infrastructure globally. That's sort of a long-term challenge that I think this helps change the dynamic of. When you talk about sort of narrow specific security issues, having these virtualized networks where operators can control more of the network through software gives them a lot more visibility and control over what's happening on the network. So they can see if something looks amiss, if somebody has access to something that they're not supposed to, for example. At the same time, right, moving a whole telecommunications network into software really increases the complexity. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there are potential problems that could arise with this transition and just the sheer amount of complications that it introduces.
Doug Brake is at the Information Technology and Innovation Foundation. Speaking of getting online, we'd like to hear from people out there who don't have internet access at all, or maybe have less access because of the pandemic. And we are going old school, since you probably can't email us if you're not online. So let us know at 802-877-TECH. That is 802-877-TECH. And now for some related links. Speaking of Huawei, on Friday, the U.S. announced new restrictions on selling smartphone chips to Huawei. It said that companies that use U.S. chipmaking equipment, even if they're not based here, have to get a license if they want to sell chips to Huawei. That caused the world's biggest contract chipmaker, Taiwanese semiconductor manufacturing company, to stop taking new orders from Huawei, even though it's their second biggest customer. As it happens, TSMC has also announced it will build a new $12 billion plant in Arizona. As for Huawei, the company said Monday that yes, these new rules could be a problem, but some experts said there are still plenty of loopholes. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.